Good morning, boys and girls. Nice to see you all. You're off on a trip today, I understand, and I have to be therefore very careful not to overrun my time. Not that I would ever do that. Some of your grins would suggest perhaps that you might argue with that statement. Anyway, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. We have three verses that we're going to look at this morning. Verses 14, 15, and 16. I'll read them now to you. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. This follows on from what we looked at the last time I was with you, which was, of course, verse 13. And the people spoken of here in the opening words of verse 14, they that say such things, are, of course, the early believers, Abraham, his wife, and their descendants. That's who's spoken of here. And when it says in verse 14 that they that say such things, what were the things they said? Because we can't make much of what is written here unless we remember what it is that's referred to. What did they say? Well, look back to verse 13, and we read that they said that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. That's what Abraham said of himself and what his descendants who followed in his steps said of themselves. We're pilgrims here. We're strangers here. Following on from that, boys and girls, I want to say first of all, those that declare this, who say of themselves, we're pilgrims, we're strangers here on this earth, have their eyes set on that which is not of this world. That's what puts the difference between the Christian and everyone else. The Christian has their eyes set on heavenly things, not earthly things. The unsaved person lives for Friday night, works over out into the world, engaging in worldly, sinful pursuits. Not so the Christian. Their eyes are upon heaven. Earth and its ways are not their ways. Their mind and their heart is set on their eternal abode. That is what and who a true Christian is, and I want you to understand this. Tens of thousands of people who claim to be Christians never show the slightest interest in eternity, in what lies beyond this world and this life in this world. But that's not the case with the Christian. The Christian strives ever to bear in mind that they're not of this world. They're going to heaven. They're going to eternity. And they plan accordingly. I came in here this morning, and I was immediately told, we're going on a trip today. That's where the thoughts were. That's what occupied the mind of the person who said that. Well, the Christians like that. We're going on a trip. We're going to heaven one day. Therefore, the things of this earth don't really interest us or fill our minds the way it does the worldly person. Christian is confident of where they're going. Paul the Apostle wrote these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the very beginning of that chapter. For we know, that's important. He doesn't say, for we think, for we hope, it's possible it may happen. No, he doesn't say that. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's what the Christian knows. I have a house that God has built for me in heaven. In heaven. In this, Paul goes on to say, we groan. Where we are now is a place of groaning. And we earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. We're longing to go there. That's how it is with a Christian. Not longing to get out into the world on a Friday night, a Saturday night, every night if possible. No, that's not our longing. We're longing to enter that house that God has built for us. That's the desire of the child of God. And they have that desire because, as the Lord Jesus said in John 15:19, I have chosen them out of the world. Out of the world. When the Lord Jesus called Peter, James and John, and the others, they left the occupations they were employed in. Peter left his fishing, and he followed the Lord. And there is that turning of the back upon the affairs of this world by the Christian, and the looking for that which is in heaven. Now, the true child of God has no desire to go back to the old ways. That's what the verses say. Look again at verse 14. If they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now, Abraham came out of the territory we know today as Iraq. Back then it was Babylon. He came from Ur of the Chaldees. But they never wanted to go back. They never wanted to go back. They had plenty of opportunities. We read that Jacob went back, but he did so for one reason only. His mother and his father didn't want him to marry one of the heathen, pagan, Gentiles that lived in the territory we call Israel today, or the Promised Land as it was then. They didn't want Jacob to marry a woman from those pagan tribes. They said, go back to Babylon and to the family unit that's found there. Because there was amongst that family a faith in God. And so they wanted Jacob to marry someone who shared his religious views. And they went back, but he didn't stay. Oh, he stayed for a while because he had to pay the price of his wife. And they worked for 14 years for the two sisters that he married. But then, back again to the Promised Land where God wanted his people. And we can learn from that we live in the world, and there are things that we have to do in the world in order to survive. Like Jacob going back to get a wife. Well, each one has to earn a living in the world. Work in the world. But that doesn't mean that we have to be of the world. That we join in their thinking, their activities, their views, their notions. We are not of the world. You will find, boys and girls, when you go into the world as a Christian, they will say to you, why are you different? Why don't you go with us on a Friday night? Because you're not of the world. If you're truly saved. If you're truly saved. We have a Christian school here. Why do we have a Christian school? For this very reason. That the schools that the state, the government, provides is of the world. It's the world and its thinking that prepares the curriculum in the state school. And it teaches the thinking of the world, which is not the thinking of God. And if a Christian sends their child to a worldly school, to a state school, they're going to be taught what the world thinks. But we don't want that here. That's why we have a Christian school that is based upon the Bible. And it's the Bible that decides what you are to be taught. You're not going to be taught the ways of the world, the thinking of the world, the notions of the world. You're going to be taught what God says. For what God says is truth. So then, it says they had no desire to go back. They could have, but they had no desire to go back. No desire to go back to the old ways that God has saved them from. The last thing I want to say is this. Because they thought like this, because they acted like this, because they didn't want to go back to Babylon, but their eyes were on heaven and what God had for them there, it says, God is not ashamed to be called their God. See the little word there in the verse 16, right in the middle of verse 16. Look at it. Wherefore? Wherefore? Because, as a result, coming out of that mindset of the people, there sprang this reaction from God. He's not ashamed to be called their God. You think of that. You know, boys and girls, it's a sad fact that many times we're ashamed of God. That's what makes Christians quiet when they should speak up. You know, I had an experience many years ago. I was the minister in Bethel, and I used to run open air meetings on a Thursday at lunchtime. Thursday was the mart day. And I used to go opposite what is now Dunn's Store, although at that time it was the cattle mart. And you had plenty of farmers about and farmers' wives. And there were stalls all around the pavement. Plenty of people. So I used to go, oftentimes just on my own, and hold an open air meeting. And I remember one day, if you know that particular location in Enniskillen, here am I standing on the pavement, I'm looking out towards what is now Dunn's, and up to the right the pavement swung up round the main street, as it were, in Enniskillen. And I remember preaching away there, and I spotted a man coming round the corner, and I could see him thinking, for he heard the voice. See, I was using a loudspeaker, and he could hear the noise, and he was looking. And then he spotted me standing at the microphone, and he stopped, and he pondered for a moment or two, and then he turned on his heel, and he walked back again. Why did he do that? Because he was a member of my church at that time. And if he was going to come on down the street, he was going to come near me, and he would be required to share with me, stand with me in that open air. But he didn't want to stand out publicly. He was ashamed of the gospel. I've never forgotten that. I've lived with that in my mind. I knew the man well. I never said anything to him or challenged him about the matter. Never once. Never named him. But one day he'll answer the Lord. Yes, we oftentimes are ashamed of the Lord. We don't own him. We don't say, the Lord Jesus is my Savior. I remember a friend in America, a dear friend, an Ulster man, and he was in a restaurant one day, and there was a loud-voiced man sitting over with friends, and every so often he took the name of the Lord in vain. And this old Ulster man, when he finished his meal with his wife, on his way out he stopped, and he said, "You keep taking the name of the Lord Jesus in vain. He's my Saviour, who died on the cross to save me, and I don't like you misusing his name." Good old Ulster man. The man who had been so loud-mouthed in his blasphemies, he was stunned. I often wonder, did it lead on to that man giving thought to his sinfulness and maybe getting saved? I don't know. But boys and girls, when we have the heart and the mind of those that we're reading about in these verses, those who said, "We're not going back. We have no interest in going back. Our eyes are above, looking forward to what God has for us." If you share that attitude, then it says God is not ashamed to be called your God. He's not ashamed of you. He gladly owns you, if I might put it like this. I'm sure this is the case. He says to the angels, "That girl, that boy, it's mine. They belong to me." See how they have no interest in the world and its ways? They're looking forward to coming here to heaven. They're one of mine. They're one of mine. When you finish school every day and you go out there, there's only one car you run to. That's the car Mommy or Daddy is driving. That's where you go. That's where you go. You don't say, "Oh, which car will I go to today?" No, there's only one car. And boys and girls, if we belong to the Lord Jesus, if we're saved, then it's to Him we ever go, stand with, walk with, talk with. And consequently, God is not ashamed to be called our God. Old Peter on one occasion was ashamed of the Lord Jesus. When he was arrested, Peter, in fear, like all the others, ran away. Didn't want to share in the troubles that had come on the Lord Jesus. But he couldn't altogether dismiss the Savior. And consequently, the Bible says that he followed the Savior as he was taken away under arrest. He followed the Savior afar off, kept well back, but had to follow. The attachment was there, but it was stretched and strained, and so it is with many. But we know that Peter was restored to the Lord. The Lord never forsook Peter. Never forsook Peter. Never forget this. Does the Lord look on you as His today? As the Lord looks down on this little gathering, does He look on you as His child? That's the reality of it. And I trust you'll give thought to it today. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow together in prayer. O God, we are ashamed of how often we fail Thee. We remember how that is said of the prodigal, that he came to his father and he said, "Father, I am no more worthy to be called thy son." But, O God, the father didn't disown him, but rather he turned to his household and he said, "This my son, Lord, help us to live in the light of eternity, to live for thee and not for the world and for sin." Bless the school today, Lord. Bless them in their outing. Take care of each and every one. We commit the work of God here to Thee. Lord Jesus, may we be owned by Thee. May You not be ashamed of us, Lord, because of our failings. We ask this in Thy name. Amen. Amen.